Turn with me to Acts chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course we came to Cos, the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. Finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload her cargo, and finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. Pray with me. Holy Spirit of God, move mightily in our midst right now, challenging us, O Lord, to hold true to your word. And Lord, as we do so, may we find wherever we are and wherever we go, the opportunity to express why we believe, why we are Christian, why we follow your word, and why we hope for the blessed hope of the resurrection in our lives and those who've gone before us through Christ. Speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Apostle Paul, once known as Saul, wonderfully converted to Jesus Christ, did not pay attention to those who wanted him not to go to Jerusalem. Instead, he went on to Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that in verse 26 of chapter 21, Paul was arrested and held so the mob could not destroy him, but in hopes that perhaps others would. Chapter 22 begins this way. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our fathers' law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders from whom I received letters to the brethren and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. Since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. The Apostle Paul was one who was willing to stand for any challenge, and even being held and in captivity, in bondage, you might say, he still was not willing to shut up and be quiet. And so he spoke on and sought, even in the midst of a mob surrounding him, and that's one of the reasons why the soldiers came and gathered him together and sort of arrested him and held him and were taking him into a house to lock him up. Paul kept defending his belief. I want you to mark down this sentence. No one can deny what Jesus changes. No one can deny what has happened to a person when God gets a hold of them and changes them. Let me pause here for just a moment, because if I keep on, I'm going to forget. We are glad to have Brother Clyde back with us this morning. We've been praying for him for a while. And he looks good, doesn't he? Hope you've had an opportunity to speak to him. Brother Clyde, we're glad you're here. Miss Betty Lou, we are too. Glad you're here. But it's been a while, but that's part of what I'm talking about. When God moves on our behalf or in our behalf, and God changes things, and God has changed, certainly changed things for Clyde. Now, he may go home today, I don't know, but nobody knows but the Lord. But the point is, he's here today, and we see him. But when God changes things, you can't deny that. And so Paul is a direct example of that. And in this passage, chapter 22, verses 3 through 21, I want us to see the aspect of Paul's defense before this Jerusalem mob. It's not difficult to get a mob together today. It's not difficult to cause a mob to get together today. All you've got to do is disagree with what they're saying or what they're going about doing. Just disagree with it and they'll come at you. They'll be a mob after a while. It won't take long. And that's what happened to Paul. Go back to verse 26 in chapter 21. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with him, entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification at which an offering should be made for each one of them. When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him. You see, all it takes is one or two or three people to disagree with what you're saying, if we had a broadcast speaker outside, it wouldn't take long for a mob to gather together if we proclaimed something that they didn't like and didn't agree with. They'd come running. Someone has said, start a fire at the church building, and the whole community would come out and watch the church burn up. But start a fire of revival in the church and let the Spirit of God move powerfully among the members and the people that are there and go out into the community. They won't come and watch. You'll have to go get them. That's what the church is about even today. Crying out, men of Israel, this is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law in this place, and furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled the holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus and the Ephesian with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Before you make a false claim, can I say something to you who I'm not really intending to offend, but if it offends you, it offends you. If you are prone to gossip, Listen, make sure that your information that you're gossiping about is right. Did you hear that? I just want you to hear it. You know, if you're going to gossip, make sure that what you're gossiping about is right and true. Because if it's not, it's spreading ill-gotten gain and destroys people. Okay, I'm moving on. And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, dragged him out into the temple, out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now, as they were seeking to kill Paul, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them, and when they saw the commander and soldiers, they stopped beating Paul, trying to beat him to death. Then the commander came near, looked, and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried one thing, some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. And the multitude of the people followed after crying out, "Away with him, away with him." Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Away with him, away with him. Crucify him. Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out of the wilderness?" See, even the garrison commander had heard false news about Paul. But Paul said, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean citizen, a city. And I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand and to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language. Paul was one that was not easily swayed to give up. Paul was one who was willing to keep on keeping on. And friends, that's what we've got to do as Christians and brothers and sisters today. Corinth Church, that's what you've got to do. Keep on keeping on. You can't give up because of what some say. You can't give up because of what some do. If you are in the Lord and with the Lord and you're following the Lord and you're in the Word of God, follow Him. Stay true to the Word. And keep on keeping on. I want to give you a perfect, if you don't mind me using that word, a perfect illustration of how to witness. Because the Apostle Paul sets it down for us right here. If you have a question about how in the world you're going to witness to your brother or your sister or your aunt or uncle or grandchild or granddaughter, whoever it is, doesn't make it if it's a friend next door, it's a friend down the street, a co-worker, what? Here is the perfect way to do it. Look at what Paul started out with doing. He got their attention. "Hear my defense." When they listened, they quieted down. Paul began his testimony. "I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, a teacher of the law. I was zealous towards God, as any of you, in fact, more so than any of you. I persecuted this way to the death. I bound those and delivered those who believed in this way, both men and women, to prison. I had the high priest's witness and support, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem, bringing them back to Jerusalem from Damascus to be punished because they didn't believe the way we believe. Now it happened as I journeyed on my way to Damascus, near Damascus about noon, suddenly a great light shone from heaven. I fell to the ground, verse 7. I heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." And he answered, "And those who were with me indeed saw the light, heard the voice, but did not understand it was a voice as it spoke to me. So I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And he said, 'Arise, go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do.' Since I couldn't see, I was led by the hand into Damascus." Verse 12. Now I want you to really listen to this part. "Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, 'The God of your fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord.'" I want to share with you 3 points, and it's a perfect illustration of how to witness. Follow the Lord, follow the Apostle Paul in this passage as he lays out for the people his life before becoming a Christian. Point one. His life before becoming a Christian. He was a Jew. He was not just a Jew, he was a devout Jew. A devout Jew is one who follows to the letter of the law, everything that's written in the law, everything that he could do from the time he got up in the morning to the time he went to bed at night. He followed the letter of the law and the Jewish law. Not just the Ten Commandments, he followed everything that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had added to the law. And he justified himself in that regard. He was a devout Jew. That was before becoming a believer. And then he persecuted the way. He persecuted those who believed. I persecuted the way, this way, to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. I had the high priest. I had their support. I had their letters. I was supported in everything I was doing in destroying these believers, these unbelievers of the Jewish way of life. If you go back to chapter 8 of the book of Acts, verses 1 through 3, Stephen has just been stoned to death. Stephen, the first martyr of the church, and Stephen, a believer in Jesus Christ, and Stephen, one of the first deacons. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And so, as they moved on, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Saul, later the Apostle Paul, was one who sought to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, the way. And he sought to do that in the best way that he could. That is to chain men and women and take them into prison and have them killed. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then we go on and you have his testimony of how he was saved. You have to put in practice what your life was like before you became a Christian, before you became a believer. That is point number one, so that people will understand where you're coming from. Well, what led you to believe? What led you to Christ? How did you become a Christian? Well, this was my life before I became a Christian. This is what I was like before I became a Christian, before you knew me as a Christian. So, put it down. Point number one, your life before becoming a Christian. Point number two, how he came to Christ. Look at verses 6 through 11 in chapter 22. You can go back to chapter 9 and you can see that what we just read. But here it is again. "Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at noon or about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' So I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' And those who were with me indeed saw the light, were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' The Lord said, 'Arise, go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things that are appointed for you to do.' Since I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me. He stood and said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that same hour, I looked up at him." Now, if you go back to chapter 9, and you'll read some more about Ananias, you will see that Ananias was afraid of Saul. You will see that Ananias was not just afraid of Saul. He didn't want to do what the Lord was telling him to do, to go to Saul and lay hands on him that he would receive his sight. I mean, who in their right mind would want to go? Somebody that was putting men and women in prison because they believed? Ananias was a believer. Ananias didn't want to go, but he went. "Go, for he is a chosen vessel," the Lord told him. Then he looked at him once. Ananias spoke to him, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard." Of what you've seen and heard. "And now, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance." Now, verse 17 is a transition from the salvation experience of Saul and baptism of Saul and moving on, going back to Jerusalem. By the way, you don't hear any more of him carrying anyone with him. What did he do with those letters from the leaders, the religious leaders. What did he do about those he went there to take into chains? Well, they were still there in Damascus. It happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple. I was in a trance and saw, verse 18, saw him saying to me, saw him. Who? Jesus. He saw Jesus. Make haste, he said. Get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they'll not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, as I said before, he's not one to give up. Paul is not one to give up just to give way. So I said to the Lord, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprison and beat those who believed on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Lord said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. So, the second step, second point in being a witness for the Lord Jesus, his life before believing, one. Two, his life coming to Christ. He came to Christ, however you want to say it, however you want to express it. This is how I came to Jesus. This is how I came to know Jesus. This is how I was saved. This is what happened to me. There is no refuting of what has happened to you. There is nothing and no one can say anything about what you say about what Jesus has done for you. They cannot deny it, because it's happened to you and you're telling it. Doesn't matter whether they accept it or not. What matters is that you tell it. What matters is that you say it. What matters is that you express it as following the Lord Jesus. Paul came to Christ. First of all, he saw a light. Verse 6. I saw a light. And if you will note, it was a heavenly light. A great light from heaven shone on me. And then, not only did he see the light, he fell to the ground because of that light. Verse 7. I fell to the ground and I heard a voice. Verse 7. I saw the light. I fell to the ground. I heard a voice. And then I answered the voice. Who are you, Lord? And then I obeyed the voice. Verses 9 through 11. Those who were with me took me by the hand and led me into Damascus. Go into Damascus. Arise, go into Damascus. Verse 10. There you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. How did Paul come to Christ? He saw a light. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice. He answered that voice and he obeyed that voice. What led you to Christ? What did you see? How did you experience Christ? I'll tell you what happened to me. I was in a church. I heard the preaching of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I heard the Word of God and the Word of God pricked my heart. As I heard, as my heart was pricked, it was the Holy Spirit of God, I didn't know at that time, was speaking to me, calling to me, Don, you need to get down. You need to go down. You need to be saved. You need to follow me. You need to do what I want you to do. So I answered that call. I went, I obeyed that call, and I was saved when I followed the Lord Jesus Christ. My life was changed. Thirdly, what's your life like since following Christ? Your life before Christ, your life coming to Christ, your life since coming to Christ. Verses 12 through 21. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me. He stood and he said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him and he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will. Let me just make this statement. God wants you and I both, all of us, to know his will, by the way. He wants us all to know his will. And you'll never know his will if you're not in the Word. You'll never understand his will if you're not in the Word. You'll never follow his will if you're not in the Word. Just a point. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And that's what we are to tell about. That's what we can tell about, is how we were changed, what Christ did for us. That's what caused us to come to Christ, what caused us and led us down the aisle, if you would. And then our life after him. Now, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And since coming to Christ, it happened when I returned to Jerusalem, was praying in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him, God, saying to me, the Lord saying to me, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they'll not receive your testimony here. So I said, Lord, they know in every synagogue, I imprisoned those, and I beat those who believed the way, who followed the way. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was there, I was standing by, God consenting unto his death, I was guarding the clothes of those who were there, doing the killing. Then he said to me, Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. First of all, Paul received his sight, verses 12 and 13. He received his sight. I received my sight. After I came to Jesus Christ, that's Paul's life. After he came to Jesus Christ, he received his sight. Now, literally, Paul received his sight from Jesus. And literally, I received my spiritual eyes and sight when I came to Jesus. So my life since coming to Jesus Christ has received spiritual sight. I have spiritual eyes. That's not perfect. Please don't misunderstand. It's not perfect eyesight. And I wouldn't be wearing these glasses. But it's not perfect. But it is spiritual sight. And then he received his call, verses 14 through 16. He said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one. And who is the just one that he saw? Jesus Christ. And hear the voice of his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. The Apostle Paul received his sight, he received his call, and look in verse 17 through 21, he received his direction. It happened when I returned to Jerusalem, was praying in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, see, he saw, he followed through with what the Word of God said. He wants you to see him. And verse 18, he saw him. Make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they'll not receive your testimony here. And the Lord said, I'm going to send you somewhere, verse 21, far from here to the Gentiles. Paul the Apostle was known as the Apostle to the Gentiles. Very quickly, look back at chapter 9, verses 20 through 22 with me. Saul becomes Paul. He was saved. He received food and was strengthened. In verse 20, chapter 9, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Paul, Saul, who fought the way, who persecuted the church, persecuted the believers, Now, he's receiving his direction. Immediately he preached Christ after he was saved, after he received his sight. He receives his call. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not the one who destroyed those who called on the name in this same name in Jerusalem? And has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest." But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we see ourselves and we see others with different eyes. We see ourselves and we see others with a different perspective. We see ourselves and we see others with a different calling. We receive salvation. Our life before becoming a Christian, even if we are, do not think we're a bad person, we're still not good enough. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. We are not good enough for Christ. For salvation, until we come to Jesus Christ and we're clothed in His righteousness, we're saved, and our life since becoming a Christian should be one of sharing Jesus with our world. No one can change the fact of a life that is different, a life that is changed. Point is, I've heard, in fact, just recently of the fact that a changed life is what led this particular person to Jesus Christ. He watched a life. He saw a life that before becoming Christ, if he knew that life, was a life that was totally like his. Until he came to Jesus Christ, and that life, since coming to Christ, was totally different. It was lived in hope. It was lived in a desire to please the Lord. It was lived with that which no one else has. A hope, a joy, a complete feeling of everything's going to be okay, even though it looks like everything's falling apart. And he told about his life being different. Friend, no one can deny that. No one can deny what's happened to you if Christ has happened to you. But if you are still the same after you are supposedly have been changed and you've told people you've changed, then nothing's happened to you. You're still the same. And you need to do something about it today. Pray with me. Father, I pray that our hearts and lives will be open to your Holy Spirit's leadership and speaking and wooing us. And I pray, Lord, that if there's one here today who's never trusted you fully, completely, faithfully, that today would be the day. And I pray that they would give themselves to you like the Apostle Paul. And Lord, afterwards, go tell their whole world about Jesus. Touch our hearts, move our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.